Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to Bride of Christ Radio. I'm your host, Deborah Powers. For those of you tuning in from Israel, Shalom and Erev Tov, Happy New Year. Bride of Christ Radio is committed to bridging the gap between Israel and the nations, educating the world against anti-Semitism and supporting the legitimate nation of Israel. I'm a firm supporter of Israel and an advocate for the Jewish people. For more information on the conditions in the Middle East and live events, go to kufi.org. That's ChristiansUnitedForIsrael.org. And click on events in the upper right corner to view the calendar of events in your local area, such as a night to honor Israel and standing with Israel. I'm only a member of KUFI and I'm not a spokesperson for their organization. However, I am committed to the Jewish people as much as KUFI, since they're a wonderful grassroots organization who's dedicated to educating the world and creating one voice for Israel. I support KUFI as well. Again, I'm your host, Deborah Powers. If you'd like to reach out to me via email, you can write to talk@wbocradio.org, or you can write to me at WBOC Radio, P.O. Box 413, McMinnville, Tennessee, 37110. McMinnville is spelled McMinnville. If you'd like to call into the broadcast today with questions or comments, the number is 515-602-9613. You can also join my blog, get copies of my books, or listen to previous episodes of the podcast at wbocradio.org. You can also like us on Facebook at bocradio.org. So don't forget and put the W in front of it. On Facebook, it's facebook.com/bocradio.org, where the podcasts are posted immediately after the broadcast. Stay tuned in over the next few months for in-depth studies from my latest book, Mystery of the Ketubah. These studies will include revealing the identity of the bride, getting to know our Jewish roots as Christians, understanding cultural divisions in ancient Jewish wedding traditions in Israel, which Jesus referred to throughout all of his parables. When we read the Word of God through the eyes of a bride, the mystery of the Word can be understood by anyone. You don't have to be a scholar or a theologian to decipher the Word of God. When you've been equipped with the true identity of the church, you won't want to miss it. If you or someone you know is seeking answers to questions about your salvation, or you have doubt about the Word of God being true, or you're just not sure if God really exists and still cares about what's going on in your life or what's going on in the world, please get a copy of my first book. It's called Tell Them I Am Sent Me. It's on audio. You could get it on iTunes, on audible.com. You can get it through Amazon, and you can get it on Nook and Kindle. You can also go to thebookpatch.com and order it. And again, you can go to wbocradio.org and go to publishing, and I'll have it on there. I've been giving this book to lost souls all over the world, from prison and nursing homes. It's full of answers that keep many people from having that personal relationship with Christ, our Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach. It answers those questions that you don't think he's big enough to handle. Today, I'll be giving my testimony of salvation, how Islam and religion place blinders on my eyes, as well as my humble return to the cross and Christ, my Savior. When I was 13, 14 years old, around that age, I had no idea who Jesus was. A couple named David and Kim Clark from Akron, Ohio, came and got me and took me to this play called Revelation. I had no idea who Christ was. I didn't know about the rapture of the church or hell and heaven. I didn't know anything. All I knew is that when I watched that play and I saw Christ sitting on the throne and I saw people withering in hell, of course, you know, that's going to bring fear into a 13, 14 year old kid, especially when they believe it's true. They gave an altar call at the end of the play. And I had, it was at the Akron Civic Center, by the way. I had no idea, you know, what I was doing. I didn't know it was an altar call. I didn't know anything about Jesus other than what I had just seen up there. So I asked the lady, that had taken me. She was sitting next to me. Her husband was on the other side. And I said, am I allowed to go up there? And being the heathen I am, she said, yes. So I climbed over the seats because the aisles were full of people who were leaving the auditorium. So I climbed over the rows of seats to get up there so I could give my heart to Christ. Now, here's the thing. I never went to church again after that. All I knew is that I loved this man called Jesus, who gave his life for me on the cross. I didn't know why he gave his life for me. I didn't know why he had to die. I didn't know why I was sinful, other than I knew that I was in my heart and that he redeemed me. So I didn't have all the jargon that we can talk about today, but I do know that I had joy. I never went to church again after that until I was 19 years old. But in between that time, I had clarity. I knew who I was. I knew what I wanted to do with my life. And I knew that I wanted to get out of this situation that I was living in. These circumstances were unbearable, and I was so unhappy. And I had been living in my car when I was 16 to 17. It was a pretty bad situation, and that's a story for another day, testimony for another day of how I actually got into that situation. But I had been kicked out of my house when I was 14 years old, 13 or 14, which is what prompted this couple to come over and get me in the first place. My grandmother and my grandfather took me in for a short amount of time. And once I got on my own two feet and was able to step out, I just kind of left, but never really had any place to go. I was staying with my dad for a while, but I won't get into the details of that. But I wasn't welcome there any longer. And so I ended up just going from one place to the next, staying with friends and family. Half of them didn't even know that I was sleeping in my car. I slept in the boiler room of my high school during the winter just to keep warm. I loved singing in the choir. That might not seem significant to give as part of my testimony, but it's what brought me to salvation, other than the drawing of the Holy Spirit. Because from the point that I went to that play and gave my heart to Christ, I did not go back to church again until I was 19 years old. And at that point, I was working at as a PBX operator in the basement of the high school that I went to school in. And next to it was a closet that went to the back, which is where the boiler room was. And I would go down in there and I would sleep on this mat that I would take from, it was a storage room is what it was. And they had the prom king and queen's throne there. And I would take that mat off and put it on the floor. And the way I got caught, that I forgot to put one of the pillows back in the chair. And it was still laying in on that mat. And I forgot to put the mat away because I had slept in. It's not like I had an alarm clock or anything. I would take a shower in the pool area of our high school because we had a pool. And they also had me collecting the entry fee to get into the pool in the evenings. So I was able to go up there and shower. So I worked till 5 o'clock as the PBX operator. And then once the phone shut down, then I had an hour to go and take a shower, and then the pool would open and people would start coming to the pool. And so that's how I was surviving. And all my clothes were in the trunk of my car, and I never had gas, it seemed like. So that's where I was sleeping. And once in a while I would go over to my aunt and my cousins, and they had no idea that I was sleeping in my car or the boiler room of the high school. So that's where I was when I decided to find out where, because it was Christmas time and Christmas break was getting ready to start. And it was the second half of school, second semester. So I wasn't going to be able to sing in the choir anymore. And I absolutely loved singing in the choir because it was the one thing that kept me grounded. I loved singing. It's not that I was great at it, but I really enjoyed singing. And I called this church. I opened up the phone book sitting there at the desk as the PBX operator at the high school. And I opened up this phone book and I thought, I know churches have choirs. Maybe they'll let me sing in their choir. So I called up the very first church that I saw in the phone book, and it started with an A, and because it was started with the word Akron. And I called him and I said, if I come to your church, can I sing in the choir? And she said, sure, we'd love to have you in the choir. And I thought, well, this is really weird. These people are really over-friendly. So I said, well, don't churches have those buses that go around and pick people up? And she said, we have a church van. If you need a ride, we'll come and pick you up. And I thought, this is a little strange. So I was 18 years old at the time. My birthday is at the beginning of the year. So after the Christmas break, I went back to work and went back to school. And I was a senior in high school, by the way, and I had just had a birthday. I just turned 19, and it was in February. And I called the church back, and I said, if I come to your church this Sunday, can I get a ride? And she said, yeah, just let us know where you are, and we'll have the church van come and pick you up. So I gave them a call, and they were 30 minutes late, and I'm sitting there thinking, these people are Christians. Aren't they supposed to keep their word? So the little hypocrite that I was, they come and pick me up. And the next Sunday or that Sunday night, they told me that if I wanted to join the choir, that I could come to the choir practice that evening. And I was there. They picked me up for choir practice. And there were several other ladies, the Sitco sisters. They were three sisters who rode the church van, as well as a lady named Esther, who I'll never forget these women. They ended up being my surrogate grandparents. I absolutely love these women, and they were an encouragement to me throughout the time that I had spent there. And but before I get ahead of myself, we'll go back to the choir. And so during service that evening, and by the way, I found out that the choir director, I don't want to forget this, ended up being my teacher, my choir teacher at the high school. So God works in these circles where he keeps us connected, and he draws us in his own way and in his own timing. And I go to the choir practice and go to church, and they give this altar call. Now, I do not remember what had happened, you know, when I was 13 years old, when I went to that play called Revelation. I didn't realize that that was an altar call. But here at this service, when they gave this altar call, I thought, if I ever get the chance to do that again, I'm going up, because I felt this heaviness on my chest and this fire. It was like burning. I just couldn't resist. I wanted to go up there, but yet I held on to the back of that pew. And there is one more thing that I didn't tell that I need to go back and tell you. It was the first day of church. They begin to sing this song at the opening of the service. And I don't want to leave this out, because it's very important, so you can see how we are before we receive salvation and what Christ does in us throughout that love that he shows us. So here I am going back to the very first Sunday morning. People are singing a song, and they start to walk around, and this lady's starting to come toward me. And I thought, is she getting ready to touch me? She's coming toward me. Oh my goodness. And she starts to hug me, and I'm stiff. I wish you could see me right now, because I got my arms out and they're stiff, and I'm just patting her on the back really hard, because I was not somebody that was very affectionate. I was angry at the world. I cussed like a sailor. I could drink a grown man under the table any day of the week. I had been drinking since I was, I don't remember ever taking my first drink. And I know this is going to sound unbelievable, but I was actually kicked out of kindergarten for being drunk. So if that tells you anything about my upbringing, then that should say it all. But matter of fact, what had happened is I got caught skipping school at 5 years old. I had been skipping school, and a man saw me hiding behind his trailer when the bus was coming to pick me up. And so he told on me, and I got in trouble. I got a spanking, and then I went to school the next day, but I decided to get a couple beers out of the refrigerator and go out into the backwoods and have a couple drinks. So I decided to get on the bus, and I was drunk, and I passed out on the bus. So that's how that happened. So back to this lady giving me a hug. I mean, I didn't have people hugging and kissing on me and touching me, and nobody ever invaded my space without asking, and here this woman was hugging me. So that Sunday night, they gave an altar call. I didn't go up. The following Sunday in the evening, they had a special guest group of singers there. And at the end of these people singing, they gave an altar call. And I flew up there. I could not wait to get to the front of that church to give my heart to the Lord. I didn't even really understand what it was. The only thing I knew is that after I did go up there, I had the joy of the Lord down inside me. I couldn't stop smiling. Now, I drank, and I was going to the bars. I had a fake ID. I was doing all kinds of stuff. But at that point, it was finished. No more drinking. I didn't cuss. I had joy in my heart. I never did drugs, but I assure you, people thought I was on drugs after seeing me smile all the time because I was so broken inside from years of things happening that I won't get into today. But I was so broken and I was hurt that my face was always downcast. I never smiled. I was never happy. But after that, I wish that if you don't know that type of joy, that if you don't have that in your life, I wish I could just come across and just pour that into you, because that kind of love and that kind of joy only comes through the joy of the Lord. It only comes through that love that surpasses all understanding, that can only come from Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach in Hebrew. So at that point, I was going to church Sunday mornings and Sunday nights. I was going on Wednesdays to youth service. I didn't miss a day of church. I was so in love with the Lord that love and that joy inside of me was just bursting out. People thought I was on drugs. And I started going to Sunday school. My teacher, Sunday school teacher's name was Connie Rivers. Her name is Connie Manning now. And she was the most loving, and she still is, and I still have contact with her. She is my mother in Christ. She is my supporter. She is one of my biggest advocates, and I love her with all my heart. She lives in Akron, Ohio, and so I want to give a shout out to Connie. But this has been years, and she's still been there for me. So Connie, she began to teach me the word. And I was so hungry, I would go over to her house on Tuesdays because she would invite anybody who wanted to come over. Anybody who wanted to come and learn, she was there for them. And her house was like an open door for any kid that wanted to come in and be fed or have a place to stay. And I never told her my condition, where I was sleeping or where I was staying or anything. She never knew. And when she found out years later, she was heartbroken that I never told her, because I know in a heartbeat she would have taken me in. I know that to be true. And she is teaching me, and we're sitting on her floor, and there's a couple other people, and we're just pouring through the word. And I couldn't get enough. I had so many questions for her. And within 2 weeks of me giving my heart to the Lord, the next Sunday, I was they had a water baptism. It just happened to be one Sunday after another. One Sunday I got saved. The next Sunday I got baptized in the water. And the next Sunday I'd already been invited to the Ohio Youth Convention. And it was the weekend of March 23rd, 1989. These dates are very important to me, and they're very specific. Because when I go back and I look at the time that I received salvation and the time that I had been baptized in water to the time that I had been baptized by the Holy Spirit, all these dates were very specific and very planned. There's no random about it. It was all God's divine orchestrated plan for my life, all the way up to 14 years later. So she invites me to this Ohio Youth Convention, and there's over 5,000 youth in this auditorium in Columbus, Ohio, on September 23rd. It was a Friday, 1989. They begin to teach on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I had no idea what they were talking about, but they give an altar call for anyone who wants baptized in the Holy Spirit to come down to the altar to be prayed for. So I go down, and all I can think about as they're praying is this woman's hand on my back. I didn't think of anything else except for her hand on my back. So we go to the hotel room, and lights out, supposedly at 2 or 3 o'clock. I have to look at, I kept a scrapbook that year, by the way, and throughout this scrapbook and a journal and a diary, because I kept the journal in school in English class, I kept the diary at home, which I committed myself to write in every single day. So if you'd read some of those entries, what naivety and innocence coming from a child who thinks that she's full grown and has lived life completely already. To go back and read some of these entries is so sweet to see the love and the innocence that I had at that time before I experienced, you know, the rest of life, which is still to come. And during that time in that room, Connie and the rest of the girls that was in my hotel room, we all got on the floor, and we were, she was pouring through the scriptures, and she was showing me in Acts chapter 2 about the baptism of the Holy Spirit when the 120 were in the upper room and the Holy Spirit came down with fire. And then you see in Acts 10 where Peter was called to the home of Cornelius, and the Gentile, the very first Gentile, had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the evidence of speaking in tongues. And the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is to let us know that His word is true, that He is real, that He comes and He abides in us, and He dwells with us, because we are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. So Connie and the other girls who had been brought up in the church, who had been to many of these youth conventions, and they too were seeking after the baptism of the Holy Spirit. One of them was named Julie, and I know this because the next day she sat 2 seats down from me, and I'll tell you that in just a second. So they prayed that I would receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but again, nothing happened. You know, there was no goosebumps or anything like that. And again, I'm young, I'm innocent, I don't have any teaching of the Word of God. I thought that Baptist and Catholic or Methodist were names of churches, if that tells you what I knew at the time. So I had no prior teaching other than her telling me what this was that I was asking for. So I, the next morning, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. It is Saturday, March 24th, 1989. I'm way up in nosebleed area. The other people that's in my youth, they're kind of surrounding me, but they're in the rows behind me and over to the right. Connie is sitting down in front of me over to the right, and Julie's 2 seats down. The worship leader says, "Let's open in prayer." So we all begin to just pray in whatever it was that she had told us, just pray on our own. And then she went into song. And my prayer was this, and I wrote it down in my diary. And I remember part of it, but it wasn't until I read it in my diary that it brought everything back to me years later when I remember what I had said to the Lord. And those words were, "Lord, I don't know about this baptism in the Holy Spirit thing, but if you want this from me, then I ask that you give it to me, because I just love you and I want to serve you." They finished praying and began to sing. And so I raised my hands and said amen and began to sing the song that the worship leader led us in. And as the first couple words of that song came out of my mouth, the Holy Spirit came and he went in me, just like Acts chapter 2 says, it was like a mighty rushing wind. I felt the presence of God enter into my body. And the girl down beside me said, I had long hair down past my waist with a skirt on at the time. And she said, it was like everything just went whoosh. I stood there and spoke in tongues for over 10 minutes without knowing that that's what I was doing. As I felt the presence of God move through me once again, I heard these words coming out of my mouth. Matter of fact, when he entered in me and I felt the breath of God come through me, after I said amen and began to sing that song, I heard a couple words that I did not recognize. But after that, I don't remember standing there with my hands raised, speaking in tongues for over 10 minutes. When the Holy Spirit moved through me again, and I felt that wind, just the breath of God just moved through me, I heard these words coming out of my mouth that I had never heard before, and I just instantly stopped. And I opened my eyes, and my hands were clenched together in front of me. My whole shirt was covered in tears, and my face, I never cried. Before that time, you couldn't get me to cry. I had been beat so badly that I was stubborn. They would beat me in school with a paddle to try to get me to cry, and you couldn't get me to cry. I was stubborn and rebellious, and I would look at them. I remember them hitting me. This teacher, she was a little tiny Mexican woman who her name was Mrs. Roberts, and I'll never forget tormenting that woman. And if you're listening, please forgive me. Please forgive me. She went to Spring Hill Elementary, and she was my English teacher. And I just tormented her. And so she took me to the office to give me a spanking, and I laughed at her. So they went to get the science teacher, who had arms the size of a grown man's thighs, named Mr. Bone. And he came down, and they hit me so hard with that paddle and lifted me up off the ground. And I turned around and glared at them. And I said, you can't hurt me, and you can't get me to cry. And I could barely walk the next day. But the point is that the only thing that could bring tears back to me was the Lord, was love, was compassion. And I haven't been able to stop crying since, praise God. And so I had these tears all over my hands and all over my shirt and my face. And Julie is standing to the left of me, shouting, bent over with her hands out, just shaking, saying, oh my word, oh my goodness, it happened. I said, what happened? She said, it happened. I said, what happened? She said, you were baptized with the Holy Spirit. She said, I've been coming to church my whole life, and it happened to you? And at that moment, it told me everything. That God is not looking for a perfect soul. He's not looking for that person that comes to church every day of their life, that goes every Sunday, that never misses a day of church, that volunteers for everything out there, that does all the works of their hands. He's looking for a heart who is truly seeking after him. That's what he wants. He wants that innocence. That's why he says, if anyone come to me, they have to come to him like a child. That's it right there. That's all there is to it. To take all your pride and your selfishness, your preconceived ideas of Christianity, and put them all aside and just come to Christ. And he'll answer your call. He'll come to you. And when I said, Lord, all I know is that I want to serve you and that I love you. I know at that very moment, looking back, I know my heart, and I know I meant it with every fiber of my being, and I just loved him. And that was it. Gave my heart to the Lord, and he took it that day. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. I have witness to this. I don't know Julie's last name, but I do know that she was there. She went to Akron Springfield Church on Canton Road. Connie Manning is witness to this. She stood in front of me and witnessed the baptism of the Holy Spirit that day. And all I knew of the Lord was that he loved me and that I loved him. Baptist, Methodist, Church of Christ, Church of God, Assembly of God, they were all just names of churches. Nothing meant anything to me, but what that day meant to me was I had a personal relationship with Christ. And from that point on, he began to teach me and he began to show me what it was to have love in my heart again. He began to teach me his word. And if anyone from the pulpit or otherwise would say something that didn't line up with the word of God, immediately the Holy Spirit inside me, my spirit was quenched. He would quicken my spirit and I would know the truth. So if it was good, bad, or indifferent, I knew because the Holy Spirit, he says, you need not that any man teach you. For as he says, ye need not that any man teach you, for as the anointing has taught you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it has taught you, ye shall abide in him. My point is that he is saying, I'm going to show you what you need to know. And that's why he told his disciples, I must go, because if I don't go, then the Comforter cannot come. But when he does come, he's going to teach you of all things and bring all things to your remembrance, everything that I've told you. And that's what they did. That's what the New Testament was all about. That's what he gave us. He gave us his Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of God, who dwells in us today. It doesn't have to live in a box. He is no longer tabernacling in a physical gold plated box where we can contain him. Jesus is out of the box, folks. Okay? He's now living in us. And anyone who doesn't believe me, I challenge you today. Reach out to the Lord. Reach out to him on your own accord, by yourself, with no strings attached, and just talk to him like he's your best friend, because I assure you, he still talks to us today. He talks to us. He'll answer your prayers. He'll answer you. After the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I begin to have a firm foundation in the Word of God. He began to teach me and to show me his word. And Connie, God bless her, revealed so many things to me and answered so many questions as she would painstakingly pour into me. I can't imagine having someone so hungry and trying to guide them through the Word of God. She is such a wonderful vessel for Christ. And I can't say enough about her. Moving on, after I graduated high school, I went to Cedar Point Amusement Park and worked for the summer because I had signed up for the military. I went down to the Marine recruiter, told him I wanted to join. It was right before high school ended. And he said, honey, you came in the wrong door. Let me take you around back through the hallway to the place that you meant to come in. So I go around back. And he introduces me to the Air Force recruiter. Now, I thought the military was Army. Everything was the same. The only thing I knew different was that my grandpa was in the Marines. Don't ask me what I was thinking and what that meant to me. I just thought the Army was the military. I didn't know about the Air Force or anything else. And so he takes me around and he says, this is where you need to be. So I just took his word for it. And I signed up for the Air Force and I joined the delayed entry program. So I was waiting for 9 months to leave for the Air Force. In the meantime, I graduated high school and I needed a job that was full time. And I left and went to Cedar Point Amusement Park and signed a contract to work for them for slave labor for about 3 months. And I came back and I went to church for a little bit longer until I left for the military on June 3rd of 2000. I went from base to base. I was stationed at, my first base was Lackland Air Force Base in San Antonio, Texas, of course, because I went through went through basic training. Then I left there and I went to Biloxi, Mississippi for training. I left there and I went to Shepherd Air Force Base in San Antonio, Texas for training. Then I left there. I went to Washington, D.C., where I was stationed at Andrews Air Force Base. And then I went to my main station, which was Travis Air Force Base in Northern California between San Francisco and Sacramento. The whole time I was in the military and jumping from base to base, I was in for 4 years, and I went from base to base, I slowly fell away from the Lord. My very first long station outside of basic classes where I actually worked in the hospital was at Andrews Air Force Base. It was my first encounter with a denomination outside of the church that I had been taken to when the Holy Spirit led me there at 19. And it was this man, I won't name any denominations because I've let that all go. I was really hurt for a while, but he had asked me to come to his church and I went and I said, sure, you know, I was looking for a church. I wanted to go to church, but I thought everybody loved the Lord the way I love the Lord. I thought everyone believed the way I believe, because after all, it's the Holy Spirit who abides in us and dwells with us and teaches us of all truth, right? Wrong. He's not in everybody like that. I found out the hard way. So they take me to Sunday school class, and the first thing they do is have everybody write their name and their address on a piece of paper as she writes it on the chalkboard. And she says, now, everybody speak this out loud. So everybody repeated it, their name and their address. And she said, that's what speaking in tongues is about. It's all a bunch of babble. Well, I didn't know where she was going when she had us do that. So it's like I was set up. And all of a sudden, my face turned red, and I was embarrassed. But then my temper, that red just went right out the top of my head and exploded. And I just got up and walked out of the room. They followed me because they knew what I believed. I was very open with my faith and my belief, and I didn't know that people didn't all believe in speaking in tongues. I didn't know that. Of course, I didn't go around just speaking in tongues. It was just through conversation and what type of church I had gone to and where I had gotten saved and things of that nature that had opened this dialogue up to them. So they come out of the room and they attack me verbally and begin to tell me how I was wrong and why this was from the devil. And the first thing I thought in my head was, you know, I can't defend my faith. I didn't know the Word of God well enough. I didn't know any better. And I wasn't about to say they're right, because they weren't, but I couldn't prove in the Word of God why they were wrong. And so I just shut down and I didn't go back to church again. And then it was after Andrews that I left there and I went to Travis Air Force Base, and I never sought out a church to go to, but I wasn't drinking and I wasn't cussing. I wasn't living like, you know, a hellion like most people do. And I maintained my integrity, but I was there for several years. And the one thing that was lost to me was all the Bibles that I had been given as gifts when I graduated high school from the Sitco sisters and from the other, you know, from Connie and from other people in the church as gifts for graduation. I received Bibles, and I had my study Bible that I absolutely loved. I had all these Bibles in an Avon box, and the only box that did not get, you know, did not make it to my base all the way from Washington, D.C. To California was my Bibles. Never crossed my mind to go out and buy another one. And if it did, I wasn't going to church, and I stopped reading my Word after that. And it was slowly and methodically that I fell away from the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that it's anyone's fault. It's just that I had not been saved for very long, that I had a firm foundation of you have to stay in Christ. You have to stay in the church. You have to keep seeking after a church. And I didn't have all that. I didn't have that thought process. And I'm working out at this ranch, and the next thing you know, a cuss word comes out of my mouth. The next thing you know, I'm drinking some alcohol, and here I am, 23 years old, right back in the same condition that I was before I got saved, except for now I'm worse. I'm worse because before I didn't have any preconceived ideas, but now I was hurt and I was bitter. I eventually ended up getting out of the military and I signed up to do some freelance work in Saudi Arabia, a freelance contractor in Saudi Arabia at their military hospital, King Fahd Military Medical Center in Dalharan. And I'm stationed over there, and the next thing I'm living over there. And the very first thing I do is I meet some friends, and they introduce me to this thing called SID. And it's short for Siddiqui. In Arabic, it means friend. And it was moonshine. They were from Scotland and England, Australia, Ireland. I got in with all these people, and I was not serving the Lord. These Matawas, which are religious police, he comes and gets me, and he's trying to convert me to Islam and tell me that Christ never died on the cross. And so I could not prove that he died on the cross either. This is where my state of mind is right now, people. I am serious. It was like, here I am being run out of the church by these people who tells me that I've got a demonic spirit. Now I'm over in Saudi Arabia, and I got this Matawa telling me that Christ never died on the cross, but that he was a mighty prophet. I could not prove that he died on the cross, but in my heart, I knew. By this point, I had forgotten that I had been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I had forgotten that I could speak in tongues. I had forgotten that Christ dwelled in me. Literally, there are blinders that Islam puts on our face. Do you understand that our face is blinded by the God of this world? That's exactly how it is. In 2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 4, he says, but if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. So he blinded my eyes, and I could not see the cross. This might seem unbelievable, but if you've ever tried to reason with a Muslim who has those blinders on, I don't care what you say. You could talk circles around them and prove beyond the shadow of a doubt that Christ died on the cross, and they are not going to receive it. You could prove that everything that Islam stands for is false, and you can delegitimize the Quran and the words that they have spoken with proof. For example, Muhammad said that the world was flat. That's obviously not true, but you cannot disagree with what they say because they will not receive it. That's called the blinders of Islam, and that's what it does. That's why you cannot reason with these jihadists who want to kill everyone. It's because they want to bring back I believe he's called the Hammam or something of this nature. Forgive me for my lack of knowledge. However, what I do want to stick to is the Word of God. The Word of God is sharp and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder even the Word of God and the bone, the joints and marrow, and all that of the heart. I'm sorry, I don't remember the scripture, but I do know that the Word of God is sharp and is powerful, and it can fight against anything. And here's my proof. After I left, I wanted nothing to do with religion. I wanted nothing to do with Christianity. And I would say, and forgive me, but I'm just being real with you, I would say that I, sitting at home, drinking my beer, cussing, I know Jesus Christ, and I'm going to get to heaven a lot faster than the hypocritical little old woman who goes to church every Sunday sitting on that front pew. That's what I used to say. That I don't need to go to church because all they do, there's just a bunch of hypocrites there, and I don't need to go there to prove that I'm saved. But the truth is, the reason we go to church is because we want to serve the Lord, and we want a relationship with Him. We want to be with Him. We want to worship him, and we want to come together with like-minded believers who believe the same thing. It's not always like that, because there's a parable that Jesus gives where a man sowed good wheat in his field, but the enemy came in the night and sowed tares among the wheat, so that when it grew up, his worker said, you know, what's going on here? Didn't you sow good wheat? The man said, the man who owned the field, okay, it was the man that owned the field. He's the one that said, the enemy has done this. They said, should we pluck him up and tear him out? He said, no, lest you tear up the wheat too. He said, let him grow together. Then in the end, we will pull out the tares and throw them to the fire, and they will be cast into the fire. So what that tells you is that there are good people and there are bad people in the church, and we can't change that. They need to hear the word of God. There's hypocrites. There's people that's going to go to hell in all denominations. I assure you of that. But Christ is coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle. The bride is not a denomination. It's not a religion. The bride, the body, is the individual believer who is seeking after Christ, who has a personal relationship with him. And you can have that today, just like I did. I didn't know anything about Jesus Christ other than what I've shared with you. So I'm telling you right now that you can enter into a relationship right where you are. All you have to do is ask him into your heart to forgive you of your sins. And you can do this on your own. And you can ask him to baptize you in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues in order to serve him and equip him as he abides with you and dwells with you the rest of your life. So I cannot fight against these people. I get back to the States. I end up getting married to a man that I had met when I had gotten out of the military and had gone home for a while. I get a job in radiology. I get my civilian license and all of that. I get a job in radiology, and eventually I'm being promoted through the ranks as a radiology director. And I find myself traveling to Memphis, Tennessee with this man who is a believer. And he is over the maintenance department of the hospital, and we're getting ready to install a CT scanner. So we have to go look at the scanner to see if it's going to fit, and for me to see if this is going to be the right type of scanner that we need. Long story short, we're on our way back, and he's witnessing to me again, always witnessing and witnessing. He's witnessing. And I was hungry, and I kept asking these questions because the Lord was drawing me back to him. But I would tell him just the same as I told you earlier, that I'm going to get to heaven, that I don't have to worry about that. But my life showed otherwise. My life, everything in it, he says, you will know them by their fruits. Okay, you will know a believer, you'll know a Christian by their fruits. And I can assure you, you cannot tell who I was by my fruits. Now, whatever goes on in the church, whoever has ran you out, that's their problem. They're going to have to answer to that one day in heaven. All right, but for right now, you have to answer to the cross today. If you died tomorrow, would you go to heaven? You say you're a good person, but goodness is not going to get you to heaven. I assure you of that. Goodness will not get you to heaven. We have all sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. The only thing that has wiped away our sins, washed them away forever, is the blood of Jesus Christ, because he was the only perfect sacrifice that could ever wash away our sins. And that's why the sacrifices have ended. That's why they no longer offer sacrifice in the temple, because Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice. So I'm telling you today that you can come to the cross, whether you're Jew or Gentile, if you've been in the church living like the devil, you've ran people out. But if we allow the tares to choke out the weeds, or excuse me, the wheat, if the weeds, the tares choke out the wheat, and we're allowed to be ran out of the church, then what does that say for us? What does that say? You have to be fed, you have to be nourished, and you have to go to be around like-minded believers that's going to lift you up, because that's where we go to worship the Lord. After I got back to the States and this man was witnessing to me, there's one question that I still had on my heart. And I said to this man, driving back from Memphis, Tennessee, and I said to him, but how do we know? How do we know that Jesus died? It's like, I know that he died on the cross. I know that he did. But how do we know? And he looked at me with the stupid look on his face. And he says, well, because we have the Holy Spirit. Bam. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit filled me again. The blinders of Islam was removed from my eyes, and I could see the Holy Spirit once again. I could see Jesus at the cross, and praise God, I could feel his presence once again. I said to myself, that's right. We have the Holy Spirit. I mean, this revelation to me was as if I had never received it before. I said, we have the Holy Spirit. And I'm sitting there thinking, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence in speaking tongues. I could speak in tongues. And I thought, yes, it's there. It was there. I could open my mouth at that moment and allowed the tongues to come pouring out and cry out to Christ. And I just sat there crying, and I thought, I have to find a church. I have to find a church. I have to find a church. You, my friend, have to find a church. A place that's going to give an altar call, that believes in the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, and preaches the word of God, the truth, the true word of God. Do not be disillusioned. There is so much more from my testimony. I only have a few minutes left to share with you, but the one thing I do want to make sure that I get in is this, that the Lord draws us to him, but it's up to us whether or not we answer that call. If we're sitting at church and the Holy Spirit is drawing us in an altar call, or if it's our grandmother's words echoing in our ears, or maybe our mother saying, you have to get right with the Lord. Getting right with the Lord does not mean forgetting about fun or enjoying ourselves. You don't even have any clue what real joy and real fun is all about. You want to talk about joy in the Lord, just be introduced to the Holy Spirit. I sought after a church, and I went from one church to the next. There was this one church where it was a really, really awesome church. This little old lady, she bends down to kiss my 2-year-old daughter on her head, and her gum fell out of her mouth into Brooke's hair. And she tried to get it, and she smashed it in her hair, and the little old lady begins to cry. Her name was Martha. I'll never forget it, because God used that moment to remind me of where I'm supposed to be. And as she begins to cry, I begin to laugh, and I said, it's no big deal. You know, I got a pair of scissors and just clipped the end of her hair. But 6 months later, I had gone to visit this man's church who had invited me from work and had told me because we had the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit proves the cross. We know as a Christian, we can't tell a lie. But beyond the shadow of a doubt, we can say that Christ died for us because he dwells in us, and we now have the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. We know that he's alive and well, and we know that he came down off that cross, that he rose again on the third day, took back the keys of hell, and he's now sitting at the right hand of the Father. We can say that for sure because the Holy Spirit was there and he witnessed everything. And he now testifies in us because he now lives in us. Do you understand? The Holy Spirit testifies of the cross, that we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, which is Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. We've been redeemed. I encourage you today to reach out to him. Call me. Call me if you need to receive salvation, if you've yet to give your heart to Christ. You can call me. You can email me. My number is 515-602-9613. You can call in with any questions that you have or topics that you want to discuss on the radio. Future series, you can email me at talk@wbocradio.org. The last bit of my testimony, we only have 5 minutes left here, folks, and I want to share this with you. I go to this man's church. There was a woman pastor there who was best friends with this man's wife. The wife was in control of the sound booth, and she's shooting daggers through the back of my head, and I don't know why. I don't know what I had done. All I knew is I had just came back to the Lord after 14 years of being away from him. And this lady shooting daggers through the back of my head out of jealousy. It's the most ridiculous thing. The minister, the preacher, the pastor of the church, she wouldn't even look at me, talked right over my head and went around and wouldn't even look in my direction or say hello to me. I go out into the parking lot and I begin to cry. And I said, Lord, why does it have to be this way to me? And he said, you remember the church where that lady's hair, That lady's gun fell into Brooke's hair. I said, yes. Yes, I remember, Lord. He said, that's your new church family. I said, okay. I went back to that church after 6 months to visit. I walk in, and they're giving an altar call. It's the very last, it was Hernando Assembly of God. It was the very last service that they were holding in the old sanctuary because they had just built, Pastor Marvin Carlton had just built a brand new sanctuary with a red roof, and it was round. And they were, it was March 3rd of 2003 that everybody wrote. Here, let me back up. I got to finish telling you this real quick. I'm sorry. I see that I only got 4 minutes left and I've got to tell you this. So what happens is I go in, they're giving an altar call, but they said, anyone who wants to be a member of this church, we want you to come to the front. And they opened the book and they began to sing. And I was sitting all the way in the back. Nobody knew me from Eve. And I took off and I started running to the front. And everybody just stops and they're looking around thinking, who is this person? And I signed my name. There's a lady that had signed right in front of me and she wrote 3-3 of 03. I found out later that it was 3-2 of 03. But it was exactly 14 years to the day that I had given my heart to the Lord that very first time and the Lord drew me back. Pastor Marvin and Sister Helen Carlton are still my family today. She's gone on to be with the Lord. God bless her. But I know that we're going to have a reunion in heaven one of these days because just as we are alive and well right now, she is too. And she's waiting to receive us once again. And I thank them for giving me such a wonderful church family. I thank the Lord with all my heart for giving me such a wonderful church family. The rest of my testimony will have to wait for another day. Right now, I'm going to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask that you come in to everyone within the sound of my voice and you show them the truth of the Word of God. You show them the truth of the cross and the truth behind the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. I ask that you set these souls free from their oppression. I ask that you remove the blinders of this world from off of their eyes and that you heal their bodies. I pray, Lord, that you touch them. If there's people out there with sickness and infirmities and cancer and disease, I speak against that disease in the name of Jesus and I command it to leave their bodies right now. I pray, Father, that you move through them. You send forth your ministering angels to heal them, your warring angels to deliver them from their circumstances, from their oppression and demonic spirits. And Father, I ask most of all that everyone within the sound of my voice will give their hearts to Christ today. Whether you be Jew or Gentile, the Lord has died for your sins. Remember to tune in to future broadcasts. You can follow me by going to blogtalkradio.com/WBOC so you won't miss any of the broadcasts. And don't forget to tune into the upcoming series on Mystery of the Ketubah. I'm your host, Deborah Powers. And remember, you are the Bride of Christ.